Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Well, lead singer from The Offspring, Dexter Holland, comes in and we talk about everything and have a laugh. And the music sounds great as well. So that's coming up. Then the news. First, I'll tell you about Geico. Do you own? Do you rent your home? We do one or the other. And then there's your automotive policy. How about you get your bundle working at Geico? Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners and renters policy. And it'll save you a lot of time. It'll save you a lot of money. So go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save and how easy Geico will make it when you get your bundle. That's Geico, geico.com. From The Offspring has joined us. Always good to see you, my friend.
You too. Thank you.
You drove the custom van out?
I do. I do.
All right. We'll get into all the music in a second. Yeah. But first, the van.
Yeah.
The choice
yeah.
of the van. A man like you, a discerning rock and roll gentleman like you, could afford to drive any vehicle.
Right.
You choose the van. Now, you're not driven in the van.
No. I drive it myself. It's my daily driver.
It's badass. We're looking at it.
We talk about it a lot. Yeah. Why is that? Why the fascination with...
Well, I'm a car guy,
yeah,
and
sure,
I guess
course.
A van guy now, although I never really thought of myself as a van. No one says I'm a van guy because people think you're a pedophile.
Right.
You got to go, I'm a car guy that's really tall and has tinted windows and long where you can...
Lay down.
Plenty of room for the kids.
I realize that... And maybe it seems odd to drive a van, but I really like them, and the kids love them.
Mm-hmm.
My dad drove one. That's probably part of it.
What was he doing? What was his van thing?
He had a conversion kind of thing like that also.
Really?
Back in the 70s. It was red with big, stripes and stuff.
Oh. Was it family road trip worthy?
It was.
Yeah.
Did that a little bit.
What'd your dad do?
He was a hospital administrator, so he worked at General Hospital in L.A.,
You always hear the guys with the coolest vans are hospital administrators.
Yeah, true. But I like that it's unique. No one's driving vans. They're driving, Escalades or whatever. But I think this is the next thing, the next level.
All I hear when I hear a dad like your dad's, I hear good dad. That sounds like a good dad to me because he factored in the family on the van purchase.
For sure.
So I like that the torch has now been passed to you.
That's right.
And now you can the next generation of van drivers is amongst us.
Correct.
And then there's the hot sauce, which I eat, I'd say, on a daily basis. I had fish tacos last night and had the Gringo Bandito hot sauce on there. How's that business going?
It's going good. Pandemic was good for grocery, turns out.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm.
A banner year.
And the story that I love is I believe your nanny or housekeeper or whatever that job was, when it was time to retire her, you liked her so much, you said, what's a business we can do together?
That's right. My daughter went off to college and I had no use for the nanny, but she was so great. I'm like, we got to find something. Let's make a hot sauce.
That's cool. And so into the van you guys went.
That's
and
right.
Off to buy the ingredients.
Off in the
get
sunset.
The peppers, yeah.
Are you guys in...
Olga's Goulash Shop coming soon.
Yeah, because I got the same thing. Although I think My nanny's actually going to college with the
doctor. Really?
Oh, that makes sense.
That would cost me more.
Yeah. She'll do the classes.
So, is it? I've seen it in restaurants now. I've seen it in a lot of supermarkets now. A lot of different flavors and offerings now.
Yes. We have four flavors now.
Mm-hmm. And are you guys sort of nationwide now?
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of a grocery chain kind of thing. All the Kroger's, which is Ralph's and whatever.
God. So what we got is we got rock and roll, and then we got flying airplanes, and then we got hot sauce.
Don't forget the Vans.
And don't forget the molecular biology. And we got the Vans,
and we got the biology. Yeah. Let's talk about the education for a second. Did you recently get your degree?
3 years ago.
I remember talking about it before.
Yeah.
And why? Why the emphasis?
I was halfway there when the band broke back in the 90s. And so I always kind of wanted to go back and finish it and finally decided to do it.
And is there a practical application for you? Like your dad would give you a gig at the hospital he runs or something? Park your van next to mine, son. Come on down.
I mean, I hope to fit it in somewhere. I don't know exactly. I could maybe do a paper here and there or something. But, I liked it.
I was looking at your, it's a thesis, your dissertation.
Yeah, same thing.
Okay. I was looking at it and I don't understand shit about it, but I was looking at it. I realized that it probably gave you some insight into coronavirus because there seemed to be some crossover there. When it came around, were you like, I know what this is?
For sure. My focus was HIV on the virus. So there were some similarities, I guess. Spike protein and stuff.
Did,
mRNA and, or what am I getting that right?
Yeah.
I saw that in the headline.
People, by the way, the album Let the Bad Times Roll, it's available wherever you listen to music. Dexter was nice enough to send me a kind of early version of the song and the video a month ago, I think. And you guys should watch the video as well. It's a really good video.
In a
day when I don't know if everyone's making videos, this was quite... ambitious.
Like a real video.
Like a real video. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I feel like it was important to have a video component for every song on the record. I don't know if people are really doing that, but I wanted to do it for ours.
What's the touring schedule? And by the way, the Offspring or just Dexter, I'm not sure, are going to be playing our barbecue, wherever that... Didn't you have that on? Oh, yeah. Corolla Drinks Barbecue coming up in August.
So, nothing.
That's one tour date. Well, yeah. I think it's sold out, but so I'm not plugging it too hard. But what's the touring like now that we're coming out of the COVID?
I was going to say sliding, but it looks like dates are holding now. So our first thing's not till September, but I know a lot of bands are going out July and August. So it feels like it's rolling now.
Is it going to be a full tour?
We just have sporadic dates. Our first real thing is in the UK in November. So I think it'll be really mostly next year for a full on.
And what's the prep for that?
Band practice? Like, is that what you mean? Or
yeah,
like,
I mean,
dance lessons, choreographer.
I don't know. You tell me because you're the PhD. But most guys, a lot of guys get into comedy because they're lazy, and a lot of guys get into music and other things because they don't like homework. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Like, not Dexter.
I remember a million years ago when I were doing some benefit, some like PETA benefit or something that Bill Maher asked me to do at the Improv. He had this singer. It's like, he'll be Dr. Drew and I'll be Adam Carolla. We'll do a love line thing. We'll just hop up on stage and we'll do a love line thing. And I was watching all these other comedians doing like a tight 8 minutes, you know, really seasoned, good professional comedians, because Bill Maher got all the A-listers out and it was just funnier and shit and 10 minutes long. And I was like starting to get nervous and I was like, what are we going to do up there, Bill? And he goes, I don't know. We'll just kind of wing it or whatever. And I was like, I don't know. It doesn't feel like we should just go up there and wing it. Yeah. You got a full crowd and everyone's doing joke after joke. And I go... He goes, why don't we go outside and talk about it and figure it out. And I'm like, okay, good. Let's figure out what we're going to do. And then we went outside. He smoked a joint. We didn't talk about it at all. And then when he's done smoking a joint, we went back in. And I was like, that's not preparation. Now you're high.
Now he's in the zone.
He's ready.
I'm more scared to get up on stage. But that's preparation.
Right.
Like, and so when you're with a band and you've been at it for as long as you've been at it, you don't want to show up on stage and be rusty and shitty and out of whatever. But on the other hand, how disciplined, like how can you put in 5-hour practice sessions and can you do them multi days in a row? And
I don't enjoy band practice. I mean, we've played these songs, you know, 1,000 times, right? So usually on a tour, we are kind of lazy. We'll go, well, the first night's just, you know, Fresno. So
can you please have a book about touring and call it that?
Yeah, no, wait, I can't say that. No, but sometimes the first couple nights you're a little rusty, and that's okay because, I mean, it comes back quickly and stuff. But, I mean, this time we've been off for a year, and we're going to try to, you know, we're going to spend some time and try to step it up.
But you're incorporating at least one new band member, right?
That's right. Yeah, Todd. Well, Todd was with us as a backup guy, so he's been with the group for a while, but now he's on bass.
Gotcha. That's what I meant, because I figure he's going to learn, not learn the new songs, but just, you know, get in the rhythm. And get.
But he's been, he's been a swing, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, for sure. So,
well, nothing says I can rock freestyle more than the name Todd.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's a guy who doesn't need rehearsal. He's
that's
just
right.
going to slam some heroin that's and right. get up on stage and light his guitar on fire right. and just, that guy doesn't need to be coached up. That's Todd.
He's thanking you in advance right now.
Oh, Todd.
Speaking of live prep, so yesterday on the show, we had we saw a viral video of Vince Neil performing live and it didn't go so well. He lost his voice and he sings in a higher register. Obviously, it's catching up with him. I don't know if he takes care of himself so well. And I'm wondering, oh, Dexter's coming in tomorrow. You sing in a higher register exclusively. How do you physically tear the voice? Is there a routine, a regimen?
Are you going to have to stop in the middle of Girls, Girls, Girls?
I hope not. No, is that what happened earlier?
Yeah. Oh, he said, my voice just gave out. I got to go. Sorry.
He had the whole backing track going, which I'm guessing you frown upon.
Right, right.
We can play it for you.
This is what happened.
Oh.
But it must be a back, as Dawson said, there must be a backing track playing.
Hey guys, I'm sorry guys, it's been a long time playing. My fucking voice is gone. We love you. And we'll hopefully see you next time, man. Thank you.
The people of Boone, Iowa were not.
Is that Southwest commercial, Want to Get Away? They show the bass player who's singing Girls, Girls, Girls while the lead guy's walking off stage. Like, Want to Get Away?
That's great. You know what, guys? That just isn't working for me tonight. I'm out. See you guys. Good night.
Have you ever had a situation where, like, first off, sometimes shit happens. Like, you know, the guy falls off stage or his voice goes out or a lighting rig crushes you or something. The band... There's doesn't seem to be a correct way to handle that. They don't stop at the same time. Right. They don't know what to do. They tend to just keep playing.
Didn't Dave Grohl break his leg on stage?
Yeah.
And he finished the set.
Yeah.
He finished
Bono
the set.
Walked off the stage many years. Well, literally fell off the stage many years ago.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, the thing about being on tour is you can't call in sick. I mean, no matter what. If you're, you know, I think I have canceled 2 shows over the years. Because it was almost like laryngitis. There was just nothing there. Like, if you're hoarse, you go on. If you sound shitty, you go on. And that's just what you have to do.
Do you have a regimen, though? Because the voice is unique.
Yeah. I started warming up a long time ago because I was getting hoarse a lot. So just the warm-up helps a lot. I do it for, like, I don't know, 20 minutes or half an hour before the set. Just kind of go through your stuff. And that helps a lot. Also, we don't play too many shows in a row. I think that, you know, back in the day, like, oh, put these 6 nights a week, you know, sure. But now it's just like, I try not to do more than 2.
Do you have your warm-up thing that you do that we can embarrass you with?
Is it like choir scales? Is that kind of like,
it's
kind of
like la 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 la, yeah.
I am so magnanimous. I go, you.
That is
so I don't like
sweet.
To make it about myself.
That's
right. But I'll bet Dexter does me, doesn't he?
Yes. Always.
Are you flying? What's going on with you and your aircraft world, which I'm always interested in?
Yeah, yeah, I'm flying. I took the family to Honduras last week, actually, which was great.
Oh, me too.
As you do.
what equipment you fly? Oh, me too.
Yeah. I have the Citation. It's a CJ-1.
I think I saw you up there.
Oh, yeah, on the
I
ramp.
Waved. You didn't see me.
Yeah. You took the family to Honduras last weekend?
Yeah, last week.
CJ-1's a big plane.
It's
right? it's not a Boeing 747, but it's not a little tiny jet.
It's small for, you know, a business jet, I guess. 2 in the front and 6 in the back.
And is it single engine?
No, no, twin.
Oh, twin. Oh, we're looking at it. Okay.
That's what one looks like?
Yeah. Yeah. And range 1,200, 1,400 miles or something? What's the range?
1,150 nautical, so about 1,300 miles.
Oh, I was way off.
Yeah, pretty good. Wow. I'm impressed. You know your stats.
Well, I have Mark Garrigo says a big jet and a small jet. Yeah. And I always have to figure out which jet could make it to Nashville and which jet could make it to New York. You know, there's a lot of that.
We sometimes use the same charter pilot, and he actually asked to use my jet. And so he chartered it last week and went to Cabo or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I wasn't sure how I felt about having Mark Garrigo in my plane. I'm sure he's a nice guy.
Very nice guy.
A private jet at the Anarchy on the fin?
It's you, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you, so, flew the family to Honduras?
Why? Why Honduras?
Look at the Caribbean vibe. Mm-hmm. I like to dive, too, and I was getting my 16-year-old rated.
But not while you're flying. It's a little comedy. It's a pilot comedy
joke. Yeah, you guys understand it. We don't get it. Yeah.
Yeah. So flying, how does one fly to Honduras?
Yeah, well, I can't make it nonstop in that plane. So we go to really the bottom, the tip of Texas. It's called Brownsville. Mm-hmm. So you're still in the U.S. for the first half. And then you fill up, and it's about another 2.5 or 3 hours straight to Roatan is where I went. It's an island off the coast of Honduras.
And how does the navigation, like, work in that situation?
Yeah, I mean, you're on with controllers. You file a flight plan ahead of time, and I even used a company, because they'll say, well, this is the right way to go. Don't just try to pick it out yourself. You know?
Wing it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they said, file this flight plan. You're on with the controller, so it's not hard.
Will you punch that into the autopilot?
Mm-hmm.
And so it'll correct you, or it knows where to go.
It does, yeah.
And it knows where all the commercial traffic is and everything, too, right?
Yeah, I got traffic in the plane, sure.
Are you guys a little above the commercial stuff?
I can go a little above it. It kind of depends on a bunch of things, but we're generally with it. I mean, air traffic control's job is to separate you also, so you don't
gotta keep them separated. It's another pilot joke.
How embarrassing.
That's a good one. I haven't heard that one.
That was cringy.
So are you taking off from where, like Orange County or
I base in Long Beach.
Uh-huh. Wow. That's it. How exotic does that sound? We're flying to Honduras and Dexter's piloting.
And not so he can have a pina colada on the beach so you can go diving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. They did and a pina colada. Yeah, a long day of diving.
Yeah, sure.
Wow. I never even thought about what it would take. Is Honduras cool? Is it safe? Is it fine?
Yeah. Yeah, it was all right. I mean, it's, you know, it's definitely out there. It's remote and stuff, but I found it to be very safe.
Do you stay at a resort or camp, or what do you do there?
A hotel there that's nice and kind of small and stuff. I saw the bass player for Creedence Clearwater there.
Damn. Wow. Of all the gin joints.
Wow.
I know. I didn't say hi to him. I felt bad going up to him and being that guy, but he was there.
Do you know what he looks like?
No. Well, a guy came up and told me. I thought I was being, you know, indiscreet, and some guy goes, "Hey, Dex," you know. So they,
oh, they knew
and he
you.
Said, "By the way, that's Stu Cook over there." So, but I remember him from, you know, the '70s album, so sure. I had to look him up on Google and look at his, you know, current day.
Oh,
and that's
his vibe. Oh,
there he is.
Yeah,
Stu.
Yeah,
yeah. Brown. Now, Stu, that's a rock and roll name. Todd.
Yeah. I have to talk to him about that.
Yeah. Well, you just call him the Toddster, Big Todd, or T-Man, or T-Dog, or something, yeah. You know, sure. When you're thanking T-Money. Him on stage. You can't go Todd.
We called him Gitod for a
ooh,
while.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
there, you're way ahead.
Yeah, yeah. We're warming up.
Yeah. Yeah. Brownsville, Texas, Dawson, there's a band. Named after Brownsville.
Brownsville Station?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who sung
Smoking in the
Smoking
Boys
in
Room?
The boys
who was
Motley Crue
by
covered
Motley
it.
Crue. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Right. We're coming.
Yeah, Vince had to quit in the middle of that song.
I was this old when I found out that was not a Motley Crue song.
Oh, no.
Oh, really?
Yep. Yeah.
Brownsville Station.
Oh, who knew? I guess everybody else. I thought that was a Motley Crue song.
So, Dexter, sorry. Well, are we missing anything? We got the flying... We got the hot sauce. We got the van.
PhD.
We got the rock and roll. We got the PhD. Well, so here's a question. What do you want to do that you're not doing? Because some people are curious. Some people aren't curious. I'm curious about people who aren't curious, but there seems to be more people who aren't curious than are curious. But then curious people are always getting into the next thing. So what's kind of, I mean, diving, flying, you know.
Yeah.
What's next for you, or what are you thinking about?
Triathlons.
Really?
Yeah, I'm training for something right now.
Really?
Nice.
Yeah.
Is it a triathlon?
It is.
I read them like a book.
A baby one.
You can't lie to me, Dexter. When you say you're training for a triathlon, I know you're talking about training for a triathlon.
Right.
Yeah. So how's that go? What's the goal there?
Just to finish it and see if I like it.
A full size?
No, it's a small one. It's like you could probably complete it in like an hour and a half.
Is it? Because a full one is nuts.
Pretty badass.
A full one is 2-point-something miles swimming. For some bizarre reason, it's like 109 miles cycling or something. It's not 100. Right. They should just fucking
like
stop
a marathon.
At 100. And then you have to run a marathon at the end.
Oof.
Yeah, that's a little nuts.
That'd be a lot.
Yeah. Although, I would argue now, what is a small triathlon?
Well, the one I'm doing, it's going to be in Long Beach, and it's just a 500-yard swim. So what is that, like not quite a half a mile?
Mm-hmm.
And then an 8-mile bike ride and a 4-mile run.
8 mile before you could fucking do that drunk tomorrow. What you don't train for that. You know how you guys are like practicing before you go on tour?
Yeah, right.
You know what I would like? I would love to see because this has to happen. I mean, it happens in music. It probably happens on stage. It happens in comedy for sure. I would like to see the first night out for a band versus the end of the tour and just how much tighter and better, because there really is no practice like playing shows night after night.
That's true. Yeah. You get better.
That's why I've always hated like just doing, you know, on a fraction of a scale, like musicals and stuff. Everybody comes to opening night. I go, please don't go to opening night.
Right.
Do you feel that way? Or you're past that.
And people of Fresno could fuck themselves.
That's right.
And who's going to travel to Fresno?
That's true. I know. No.
Let's don't put the barbecue at the beginning of our touring season, right?
Right.
Be tight.
We have some of you conducting the marching band that Brian brought up.
How many times have you done at the USC halftime, done the marching band? Because I feel like I've been there. I have season tickets for well over a decade and a half. I feel like I've been there for multiple occasions.
I think twice.
So
was it?
Multiple, technically.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, I went to USC, and I was just kind of on my couch one day watching Saturday football or whatever, and all of a sudden they're cutting to commercial and the band's playing my song, and I had no idea. And so I kind of reached out and said, hey, that's cool that you're playing. I went there, and they thought it was like someone hassling them or whatever. Yeah. Like, this isn't really the guy from The Offspring. Is this somebody from UCLA? Are you going to sue us or whatever? But I eventually went to meet them, and they were great, and we've been friends ever since.
That's so cool.
And they do neocon too sometimes. Like, they do a couple of your songs.
They put a bunch into their set over the years.
It's very cool. I'm a big fan, obviously.
Oh, right on. Yeah. Thank you.
Of the USC and the band, and when they play your music, I'm a fan of your band. So it's a perfect sort of synergy. Like, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah, their director just retired. He was there for literally 50 years. The
Legend.
Guy was there. And
Art Partner.
Yeah. So they had a little celebration. I went in there and they got to see the whole band in their rehearsal. And
that's
being
so
in a
cool.
small room with them was really cool.
Did you already know how to conduct? I mean, people think it's like 1, 2. No, it's difficult. People have to watch the conductor.
Yeah. No, I have no idea what I'm doing.
You just did a lot of pointing.
Did I?
I don't know.
You point, give me more.
There. Yeah.
Let's see.
Yeah, we have a clip.
Ooh. No, I don't think we do.
Chris, oh, never mind.
I thought you found the clip. Sorry. I will say this, if you have a job where someone sets up an A-frame ladder and you climb up it, it's either a horrible job, you're either at Home Depot or you're trimming shrubs, or it's a killer job, you're conducting the USC marching
band. On a ladder,
If someone sets up an A-frame ladder outside, it's either good or bad in terms of career. All right, let me tell you about Hyundai Tucson. Hyundai questioned everything to create the best Tucson ever. Every inch of the all-new Tucson has been completely reimagined, resulting in an SUV loaded with innovations inside and out. From design to technology to safety, every aspect of the new Tucson has been improved and completely redesigned. Digital Key allows you to use your phone, by the way, as a spare key. Talk about technology. They also have a big touchscreen on its 10 1/4 inches, which is very large inside a car like this. And its full-touch infotainment screen system. LED daytime running lights stylishly hidden in the front grille. It's really a good SUV, and it's really a good price point, and it has tons of technology. So check it out. Hyundai Tucson, you can learn more at Hyundai.com. Speaking of Hyundai, we did a Save Our Stages bit for Hyundai a few weeks back, and they're talking about talking to different bands and different performers and talking about stages they've been on and like memories of big nights. Like we were talking before you got here about being at the Shrine for the Acoustic Christmas and how hard you guys rocked that night and how the balcony was just bouncing up and down. You have a stage, you have a favorite place, you have a memory of, I don't know, something funny, something interesting, when it dawned on you, you guys were, you know, had hit it big.
Yeah. I mean, so many different things, but I think the first Weenie Roast was like that, where, you know, because that stage, it rotates, and then they open up the curtains, and there you are.
Irvine Meadows.
Yeah. During the day, we weren't first, but we were kind of in the middle, and all of a sudden it opens up, and bam, and the first couple songs were okay, but when we got to like the single Come Out and Play, all of a sudden the place just really went off, and it was like, wow.
People singing your lyrics back to you.
Yeah.
Do you remember who you followed?
I think it was James.
Great song.
English band James.
Yeah. Did you
know their song.
Okay.
Had you played any venues that size before that?
No. Yeah.
And I've been on stage there a million times at the Weenie Roast. It's just a wall of people. It looks like it's kind of like a tidal wave of people when you're standing on stage. It just goes all the way up. It just keeps going up, maybe 14,000 people.
James had a great hit. That's undeniable.
Oh, yeah, this song. Yeah, I like this song. The Violent Femmes. Oingo Boingo. Oh, the Pretenders. Yeah, I was there. That was my first Weenie Roast.
Yeah.
Because I got to
Dexter's too?
I got to K-Rock, yeah.
Right around that time.
Yeah, I got to K-Rock about April, May, and this was June, and I remember it was a big deal. You get to go to your first, you know, concert. I hadn't been to concert because I was just too poor before that. And I remember,
quite a lineup.
Pavement, James, Frente, Candlebox, the Afghan Whigs, Beck, Rollins Band, Green Day. Oh, that was kind of Green Day's big kind of coming out party too. They were really good. Counting Crows, Pretenders.
Damn, that's top heavy.
Yeah,
it was good. It was fun.
Who you remember? So James was in front of you. Do you remember who was after you?
No.
Yeah.
Who cares?
I was off in another world by then.
How many? So that was like a big moment, right?
Oh, yeah, that was,
and
huge.
Especially your local, right? Like this is K Rock.
For sure. I think it's more intimidating when you play in your hometown. I don't know. Something about if you're in, you know, Germany, it doesn't matter as
Fresno,
much.
Fresno or
doesn't
wherever.
Feel the same. But,
fucking Fresno.
You know, yeah. I can look at that crowd and I can pick out my mom instantly, right? So you've always got that.
Yeah. So that was the Offspring. So when did you guys hit on K-Rock?
It was 94.
Right. Do you remember what month?
It was April.
So we both got to K-Rock at the exact same time?
Yeah. I didn't cross paths with you right away, I don't think. But
obviously you guys were getting played, and I was like phoning in and showing up and trying to get a job. But we both were there in April of 94.
You're April also?
I'm April of 94 because, well, we'd have to figure out when the Bleeda and Reseda was, when the boxing match was. But I'm pretty – the reason I'll always know that date is because I was going to turn 30 in May of 94. And I always said I got to be doing something by the time I'm 30. Right. And I knew I was turning 30. And it was right before my 30th birthday. So it was like mid-April, end of April, whatever.
What's funny about that is I was a high school student in April of 94 listening to Live 105 in the Bay Area. And that's when Come Out and Play hit, you know, like an atomic bomb on the radio. And I remember, I don't know if you remember this, Dexter, or even aware of this. They made a thing. Dawson, do you remember this? They made a thing like, we're playing this song every hour on the hour. And they did. Like, you could set your watch to it. They're playing that in heavy rotation.
Yeah, it really took off. I mean, I remember I had just received an invitation to our 10-year high school reunion, right? And I'm like, oh, man, because the song hadn't hit yet, right? And I'm like, oh, man, I'm a loser. I've been out of college 10 years. Everyone, 10 years, if you're a lawyer or a doctor, you've gone through the grad school and all that stuff. And I thought, I'm going to be the lamest guy at the
thing. Hey, Dr. Holland.
Luckily, it hit in April. And, August, I was looking good at the reunion.
So I didn't quite share that story because, remember, I was 30, so I'm 2 years older. Yeah. So if you go back 2 years, I had roommates and swinging a hammer and pulled up in a Zuzu Trooper. None of the shit had worked out on my 10-year high school reunion. I just missed it. But I came back with a vengeance on the 20-year.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The
it's the ring.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I had some making up to do. All right. We'll take a break. Dexter will hang out. We'll come back and do some news right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gina Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden, Kamala. Meet news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
I would normally consider this a top story, but for this crowd, I think it's appropriate. Simple Flying reports that United Airlines has announced it will be the first U.S. airline to operate supersonic passenger aircrafts from Boom Supersonic. The airline will take 15 Boom Overture aircraft with an option of 35 more, hopefully in service by 2029. The most likely routes would be transatlantic, transpacific, so like Newark to London,
Boom.
3.5 hours.
Boom.
San Francisco to Tokyo, 6 hours. The Boom Overture will be a 65 to 88 seat premium aircraft capable of reaching Mach 1.7. And the Overture is the first aircraft planned to be net zero carbon from launch.
Mach 1.7 is Boom. Over 1,000 miles an hour, I think.
Depending on
to get to Tokyo in 6 hours.
No, this one doesn't depend. Like, if you can get from Mach 1.7, over 1,000.
What I meant, Dexter would know much more about this than I would. Mach, where you are, it depends on how high you are and the atmosphere. And
exactly. It's not a static number,
but it's probably.
But at that level, it would.
At 1.7, you're always going to be over.
That's
probably
100 miles an hour.
That's kicking ass. I wonder what this thing looks like.
There are pictures. We have them. So look at that. I mean, it looks like a bullet. I don't know how to describe that.
It looks like one of those needlefish.
Yeah.
If anyone knows what a needle, you probably speared a few of those things.
Yeah.
You know what a needle, it looks like the Concorde basically in many ways because it's just not, you got to be super long, you got to be super thin and you have to have a real swept wing and not a lot of drag and That's how they roll.
Well, and speaking of the Concorde, let me just give you an idea of what makes it a net zero carbon situation. So it uses a combination of materials like carbon composites, titanium, aluminum. It can reach supersonic speeds without the use of afterburners. That, of course, was used by the Concorde. It's also planned to operate fully and with sustainable aviation fuel. I don't know if that's peanut oil or what.
Yeah, I don't know that anyone who has, $26,000 for a one-way flight to Tokyo gives a fuck about sustainable this or that. They've probably done enough harm to the environment, but it's a good selling point.
It is. And I think there's a picture of the inside, at least what they're, a prototype. It looks pretty cool. It looks like a very fancy train.
Yeah, it's narrow, but it's sleek and it's cool. And the tickets are going to be super expensive, right?
Of course. But it reminds me of, when we first invented cars and people were afraid over, 35 miles an hour, their faces would melt off. Do we know enough about we already go Mach 1.7 in things. Yes, we know our faces don't melt
spacecraft.
Off. Well,
and
right,
and there's probably.
But I mean more.
It's not
pedestrian.
Really. I don't. There's not much military stuff that does that kind of speed these days. Mm. I don't think. Dexter might know.
There have been, right?
There have been. We gave up. So in what happened with the military, I think, is sort of like what happened with commercial stuff. So it used to be all about speed, and we'd get in the Blackbird, the SR-71, and stuff like that. It could fly Mach 2.0, whatever, it's classified or something. But we didn't have satellites. So now we have satellites.
Right.
So we spy on. So the Blackbird, which is the killer looking aircraft, military aircraft, doesn't have any guns on it. It was just there to take pictures.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I don't think people know that. It looks like it's firing rockets and, right. you know, Gatling guns and shit like that.
Yeah.
It doesn't. It would just fly so fast that the Soviets couldn't intercept it
right.
with their ground-to-air rockets, and then would take pictures.
Oh, that's cool.
But we don't need to take pictures anymore because satellites take right. pictures of everything. So we don't need the super fast military stuff anymore. We have more shit like the A-10 Warthog and stuff like that. Not swept wing, meant to fly slow with a huge cannon on the front of it to destroy tanks and things like that.
That's
so
insane.
I don't think we're going as much about speed as we are just about
stealth.
Well, stealth and technology, you know, missiles and guided stuff and all that. Have you guys... Max Powell, you might be able to find this, but what the A-10 Warthog has in front of it is basically a Gatling gun, and it just shoots depleted uranium shells, like just the hardest substance known to man. But have you seen the Iron Dome shit working?
Mm-mm.
The Iron Dome shit is a phalanx gun. The phalanx gun, as long as we're taking a military deep dive here, but the phalanx gun is a Gatling gun, and it's like radar controlled. And so if you're flying in an aircraft carrier, you're cruising in an aircraft carrier and someone launches a bunch of missiles at you and they're just skimming above the ocean and they're going to impact you, the phalanx gun just sprays rounds as fast and destroys it before it gets to you. And if you see, there is some Iron Dome shit out there that's crazy. So you see all of these rockets being fired into Israel and these phalanx guns that are all on computer guided, you know, radar guided. And they see them moving around and then like locking on a missile and then they just go. And you see all this, it's not tracer stuff. It's like red hot coming out of the thing. And then they just blow the missile up. They just shoot it down. But they're not shooting it with a missile. They're essentially shooting it with a gun.
Yeah.
And it's a
like
lot.
Like buckshot.
It's a lot like that 10 Warthog gun, but anyway, yeah, we're not going. Military's not really about the speed of the plane
don't
anymore.
Need to.
Is there a military aircraft, Max Pata, that goes 1.7 Mach that is modern? And I don't think there is. But anyway,
although we have talked before about how some companies are preparing for pedestrian space travel, you know, just to kind of get up to outer space and go woo and then come back down. And for some reason, I am not only more interested in that, but have it in my head that that's somehow safer than a sonic jet.
Yeah, but you could get to Honduras in 27 minutes.
That's true.
If you had that. It's probably not going to. That's not going to be one of its routes.
No, I doubt it.
Honduras?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe.
You never know.
You don't know.
Yeah.
You can't say.
I'll sign up.
That would be a cool plane to be a pilot for.
Oh,
that would be fun.
Sit in front.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Harrison is out as host of ABC's Bachelor in Paradise, according to Page Six. In February, Chris took a supposedly temporary break from the Bachelor franchise after a little backlash erupted over him defending a contestant who attended the Southern antebellum party. Chris was already sidelined from a season of The Bachelorette. Now, according to Page Six, he's going to be replaced by a revolving cast of guest hosts. That includes David Spade. If you don't remember this controversy, you probably do, but here's a clip from the interview that got him in all this trouble. Chris is answering a question that Rachel Lindsay asked him about Rachel Kirkconnell. She was the one that went to the Southern antebellum party.
A couple of things. First and foremost, I don't know. I haven't talked to Rachel about it. And this is, again, where we all need to have a little grace, a little understanding, a little compassion, because I've seen some stuff online. Again, this judge, jury, executioner thing where people are just tearing this girl's life apart and diving into like her parents and her parents' voting record. And what it's unbelievably alarming to watch this. I haven't heard Rachel speak on this yet. And until I actually hear this woman have a chance to speak, who am I to say any of this? You know, I saw a picture of her
Klansman, man.
5 years ago.
That's a new face of the Klan.
And that's it. Like, boom.
This girl is in this book.
Spouting
out his racist rhetoric.
Like, really?
I don't want my kids to listen to this guy.
Well,
God,
as,
he's gone.
As you know, he went on, I think, Good Morning America and did a big apology with Michael Strahan. Did not help.
There's a black guy to apologize to. This is how it works. Yeah. The most racist part of society is who's conducting the interviews. Mm-hmm. When we get like the black woman to interview the black woman, and then we got the black guy, but he's not going to interview. You got to apologize to him.
Paul Roker said no.
There's a MIG, a Max Pat. I don't know why he put a bunch of info and got rid of it on my screen.
It's all right. I didn't want to.
According to Business Insider, the fastest fighter jet still being used is the MIG 25 Foxbat. Sustain a cruising speed of Mach 2.8,
which
and
is
overdrive top speed of 3.2.
Fast, but Russian.
MIG's
a Russian.
The American fastest equivalent is the F-15E Strike Eagle. Can fly at a top speed of 3,017 miles an hour.
Oh, that's what the hell year is that from? That's a fast ass.
It's been flying for more than 30 years. I assume they make new versions.
It doesn't look sleek. It doesn't look fast.
You tell it to the fucking FMV.
It can't go 3,000 miles an hour.
It looks very heavy.
It's Business Insider.
They would lie.
Seems very dubious to me.
Yeah, I don't know. Twin engine. I have a buddy that flew those. It'll basically accelerate straight up. It's got a lot of power.
Wow.
15s.
Yeah. Interesting. Either way, that thing's 30 years old. I guess my point is we're not making fast stuff anymore. We're making like smart stuff.
That's not the future.
The old stuff was fast. You had a MIG, didn't you, for a while?
It was the plane you flew when you were training to fly a MIG. It's called an L-39, so similar.
So not a MIG?
Not a MIG.
Wasn't there a big thing where people would import MIGs in
here? Can buy them.
That's, you know, Russia's kind of the Tijuana of Europe, you know what I mean? Like, if you want something and you got money, you can go
get it.
You can't get it in San Diego, but hop over the border. You can buy a MIG. I mean, they sell their shit when they're done with it.
Yeah.
And you can get a MIG and then put a more reliable engine in it.
Yeah, you can.
And then go fly them.
But we sell our shit when we're done with it.
Yeah, but we sell it to countries who use it against us later on.
Yeah,
but we're not so stupid to sell it to civilians.
Right, okay. Right.
We'll sell it to other countries that'll have a regime change and then bomb us with it later on. But we don't just sell it to Dexter.
Right. That would be insane.
We wouldn't do that.
I have to ask, Dexter, we're talking about all this stuff. You've done all this stuff. And you seem like Adam, you go on stage, you do all this stuff. You have a low resting pulse. What scares you? Is there anything you're too afraid to try?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of
dancing in the stars.
Yeah, right.
Cicadas.
Dance with the stars. Definitely wouldn't do that. I don't know. I think Everest would be too much, probably.
Probably. Okay, just curious. TMZ reports former Jackass star.
Did you ever find the Iron Dome stuff? It's pretty. It's pretty insane.
Remember how you said people need to feel what's going on?
Mm-hmm. I was looking for some Iron Dome. Yeah, okay. Actually, Pete Brock from BRE and Shelby and all that stuff, he just sent this to me going, this is fucking nuts.
The hell?
It's videos. It's a certain video of the thing just operating, you know, moving around and kind of operating at night. But anyway, go ahead.
Wow. So Bam Margera has been sending increasingly disturbing messages. Oh, look, we're looking at it now.
Yeah, but this Maxipad is of the gun operating, not what it's doing. So you'll see. This got to be out there. This guy sent it to me. Sorry.
Bam has been sending disturbing messages to Jackass director Jeff Tremaine, including threatening his safety and his children. The court has granted...
Doesn't sound like a Jackass guy.
I'll tell you all about it.
Some got hacked.
I'll give you the quote. The court has granted Tremaine's request for a temporary restraining order against Bam. Tremaine claims Margera publicly attacked him, threatened violence, compared him to Harvey Weinstein, posted obscene drawings, and made a comment that he and Johnny Knoxville can, quote, pencil in their death certificate. And on top of that, these texts were going back and forth, and here's one of them.
It's a weird way to publicize this movie.
It is. That's true. I mean, it's getting eyeballs. It says, look at your children and grab your pocketbook and write a check. If you're greedy and cheap, look at your children again. If you don't sign the paper, look at your children. Sign your stupid fucking contract before you're not safe anywhere. According to Jeff, the contract Bam's referring to is one that he just made up himself.
This sounds like substance stuff. Sounds like something's going on.
Bipolar addiction, yes.
Yeah. Didn't someone just die from Jackass?
Yes. Yeah. I've looked that up.
All right.
But yes.
Yeah, so he's out. But like Brian said, fantastic promotion for any upcoming Jackass-related stuff. We love to talk about bidding and auctions and stuff on this show, and I think we have a new front runner, an invisible sculpture by Italian art, and I have no picture to show you, by Italian artist Salvatore Garo, sold for $18,000 at auction. While the invisible work titled I Am may seem like nothing, Garo says the invisible piece is a metaphor of our time. He says the void has energy that condenses and transforms into particles, in short, in us. After all, don't we give shape to God we have never seen?
Does this guy cater? You should open a catering business.
Delicious?
It's an empty chafing. You got to use your imagination. Right. It's a metaphor for pot roast.
Still hungry. It made a lot of sense to a buyer who, along with the sculpture, bought the certificate of authenticity. And Garo suggests displaying the piece in a 5x5 foot area free from obstructions.
Well, Gina, you're not old enough, but somebody invented something called the pet rock when I was a kid. 70s. A little too rich for the Corolla's blood.
Sure.
But they invented a pet rock, and they sold 2 billion units of the pet rock.
I have a question about the pet rock. Was it supposed to be a paperweight that they called a pet rock?
No, I think I read about this in the Freakonomics book. I think they did a whole chapter. I read about it in a book. I'm pretty sure it was Freakonomics. And it was like, this guy just, he was kind of a businessman toiling, and he had this idea that was silly, and it just took off.
But was it a tchotchke? Like, just a tchotchke? It wasn't supposed to do anything.
It was timed with, like, a downturn in the economy when, like, you can't afford a nice toy, get this, or a pet or something. And it became a thing.
Yeah. So, like, people will ironically purchase things and, having the invisible statue. Do you need to put the stanchions with the velvet rope around it?
I would.
Someone walks into it and kills themselves.
It's all pop and circus.
I was just going to say that. You have to. Otherwise, you're just an asshole.
What did it go for?
$18,000.
Phalanx, Iron Dome. Anything, Max Spada?
I haven't found anything on the internet, but I just had Matt forward me Pete's email.
That's interesting. All right. Well, we can... I was curious. I still don't know how the internet works.
Yeah, Pete sent it as an attachment, not a link, so he somehow just had this on his computer. I don't know.
But it's always weird, like, how the internet works, which is somebody videoed it and put it somewhere. But anyway, this is Pete Brock's legendary car designer, blah, blah, blah. Made the Corvette split window 63 work for Shelby, made the Shelby Daytona. Like, he's a super interesting dude, still around. Still living in Nevada. All right, I'll try to find that in a second. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. An Arizona family was surprised with a change of address notification they didn't request. It was an attempt to steal their mail and access personal information to steal their identities. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives every day. We put our info at risk on the internet. In an instant, cyber criminals could harm your finances and your credit. Good thing There's LifeLock. LifeLock helps detect a wide range of identity threats like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information has potentially been compromised, they'll send you an alert and you'll have access to a dedicated restoration specialist. It's LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can keep what's yours yours with LifeLock by Norton. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LifeLock or head to LifeLock.com and use promo code Adam for 25% off.
So here, Gina, you're gonna get moist here because this is the thing protecting your people.
Oh, that's right. Damn, so it's called Star Wars.
It's called the Phalanx system.
Phalanx.
It's part of the Iron Dome. They're shooting at a target being towed by a Learjet.
Damn! How far does it go?
I don't know what the...
The target's three feet long, doing 500 miles per hour. So.
This is futuristic shit.
Wow.
Ooh, got another one.
Yeah, the system tracks every round by radar and adjusts the aim like a garden hose.
That's insane.
Yeah, so you wonder, how do you shoot down all these missiles? At a certain point, the missiles will just start raining in, and these things will start... It's not all being towed by a Learjet, although that's a... That's a tough draw as a pilot, Dexter, right? Like, I want you to tow a drone. Now, some of these things aren't totally calibrated, so keep your eyes open.
Scary.
They could always mistake you for a missile, but here we go.
Yes.
Jeez, you got like 12 feet of lamp cord here, shouldn't we? Yeah, we'll keep it close to the plane. Towing a drone.
Oh,
sorry,
my
you
God.
Can... You can scrub forward a little bit, Max Zapata, and you'll see that these, at a certain point, they just start launching all of these rockets. Damn. You can play it. Go ahead. Put the sound effect. They just start launching rockets everywhere, and these things just start spraying it with these little Gatling guns that are basically shooting spent uranium shells. But not explosive, I don't think. They just...
What do you mean?
The shell... I mean, the missile's exploding, but it's just being hit with a bullet, essentially.
Wow. That's crazy.
And they just set them up out, like, in the desert, the perimeter, whatever. They just...
Yeah, I hope so.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy footage.
This is nightmare fuel.
Yeah. All right. But anyway, thank God. No, so it's like Israel's got the technology and Palestine's got a bunch of Chinese and Russian shit that they're just going to launch the kitchen sink at them. But their missiles are like, I don't know, 800 or 1,000 bucks a piece or something. Like, there's no money in that. They'll just launch it and try to see if they can get a percent through. But the Phalanx system is fucking intense.
That's insane.
Well, Americans are even more insane because we're like, well, what if we put one of those on a C-130? What if we just put one on an open door of a C-130 gunship, like wings, propellers, I think it's a prop plane, or A-10 Warthog? If you see the C-130 gunship with the Phalanx on it, they just go like a super slow circle. You know what's always crazy to me? If one of those planes in a crew ever just went rogue and just wanted to fly around the United States, you know, fly into New York or Los Angeles or something, they just kill 200,000 people in an afternoon, like easy. Like, they would scramble fighter jets and stuff, but if someone just went nuts on one of those, just grab one of those planes and
cowboy.
Said, I'm just going full cowboy here, I'm a super disgruntled employee, like the guy they asked to... fly the Learjet with the drone. That guy went, fuck it.
That's it.
I'm getting in the C-130. It's payback time. It's never really happened.
Carnage. Yeah,
it's never happened with all the military, with all the stuff we have. But there's got to be a plan for it.
You imagine.
I mean, there's got to be scrambling jets. But scrambling jets, you got a good... You're going to get a half hour of flying time with that gunship.
This is where my caveman brain comes in, because though I know this doesn't probably doesn't have an impact on it, I want to be like, stop talking about it.
That's
stop
right.
Stop speaking it into existence.
You're right
about the, I'm going to fuck this up completely, but there was always legend and semi-verified. There's a building in El Segundo, a tall one here in LA, where supposedly a jet or two can take off from for some sort of, you know, airport attack or something like that. I think they have them in a lot of major cities. They don't obviously publicize.
I don't think you could launch a jet.
With vertical takeoff technology, they could probably do it, right?
That sounds weird to me.
I don't know.
JPL's down there or Northrop? Something big's down there.
Northrop Grumman.
Yeah.
I don't know. That sounds... vertical. Yeah, you wouldn't need to be on the roof or whatever, like with that.
I've heard legend from people who would know.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, with vertical, but... Still, you're going to get a while in that gunship. Although, God knows where the gunship, you can find that, Max Zapata. God knows where the gunship is coming from. They'd probably track you long before you got over Encino in that thing. But the C-130 gunship just going full Gatling gun is crazy.
That's insane.
Yeah.
So I have some hot audio for you. Literally, a radio reporter from Denmark went all the way to scoop on a swingers club near Copenhagen. So she did her due diligence and had sex with this dude while she was interviewing him.
Dedication.
According to the New York Post, 26-year-old Louise Fisher.
Go for that Pulitzer.
Yeah, can be heard moaning during the on-the-record intercourse, part of a 2-minute segment that aired on Radio 4 in Denmark. The segment focused on the reopening of the swingers club named Swingland after lifting COVID-19 restrictions. There she is. She says many listeners, including her parents, thought it was funny and brave and cool. This is some audio from the actual...
Including her parents. I guarantee her dad
thought it was hilarious.
He didn't want an air check of that particular encounter.
This is a snippet of audio, feel free to call your own out, that aired on the radio in Danish.
Jeg vil gerne lige fortælle, hvad du ser lige nu.
Interviewing him.
State your name for the record.
I think that quote was she asked him, like, what are you seeing right now or what are you doing right now? And he said in Danish, like, I'm looking at a delicious woman. And that was, like, please don't.
You got to sign this release. Oh, I got a full release coming, baby. Stand back.
A little audio fun for you.
All right, Max Pata, C-130 gunship, Gatling gun. May not be a C-130.
Give her the phalanx.
I'm still scrubbing through these videos. These videos are long, and a lot of them are from inside, and I'm trying to find
them. I'll do inside. I'll do inside. How crazy is that Iron Dome? Dome system.
I can't believe it's real.
And how weirdly futuristic, robotic, killer, whatever shit is that.
But also incredibly old school. The phalanx. I mean, that's what the fucking Spartans used.
Yeah. Oh, it is.
You know what a phalanx is?
No, I only knew about the phalanx system.
Like if you've seen 300, it's when they all get their shields and they form an iron dome and they all get the shields.
Oh, and that's the phalanx?
When the arrows come up and down.
They form a phalanx.
Wow. Did not...
That's where the word comes from.
Did not know it. All right, so we'll just play this for a second. Just a crew on a slow flight and they just... It's probably not a phalanx system and they just do this big, low... circle, and if you're underneath this fucking plane, you are fucking dead no matter what you're in.
Look at that.
It's all very RoboCop-y, isn't it? Now this is one where they're firing missiles.
What
at
if
this
you just
point.
Want your family to 100?
Yeah, look out.
Jesus.
What's the weight of each of those?
Those are big. I don't know. Don't they have one that's a phalanx system, or they have one that shoots smaller? Doesn't matter. Either way,
this is their most popular video. So it's like 26 million views, and this is firing all of its cannons, but it's 15 minutes long.
So all right. Well, that's fine. Anyway, it's crazy.
Only 15.
We should rule the world with this kind of technology. We're too nice. You know what I mean? Mm. We're always talking about Russia, China, Canada.
We got stuff.
Yeah, we should. Let's go get some. All right, bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. I'm looking at a delicious woman.
Gina Grad!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
What percentage of things were they announced? Oh, what does your dad think about you being in, you know, Felch Weekly? Oh, he loves it. He loves it.
He thinks it's so proud.
He's proud.
He showed the guys at work. He did? Or they showed him? Because I guarantee there are guys at work discussing this,
yeah.
But I think you're going the wrong direction on this.
Didn't bring it up.
Here it is. Sorry.
My God.
It's just firing. Just fucking crazy.
It looks like it's a fireworks display.
Yeah. It's crazy. All right. Hyundai, yeah, Hyundai Tucson, 15 seconds for Hyundai Tucson, new Tucson. It's an SUV that's loaded with innovation inside and out, and you can learn more at Hyundai.com. Dexter, when are we going out for tacos, man?
Let's do it.
I guess it says Dexter doesn't need a little arm twist and you go out for tacos.
Yeah, we exchange messages sometimes saying, hey, let's get a taco, and we say, yeah, and it.
But yeah, now I mean it.
Okay.
COVID's over.
Okay.
Let's celebrate with some tacos.
Would love to.
I won't be happy until I see a picture of after dinner with Adam, Dexter, and John Popper.
Oh, man.
That's the holy trinity.
Yeah, going out with John. He disappointed me. He ordered mushroom soup.
It's not rock and roll.
Yeah.
That is not. It's
that's great aunt material.
Enjoy your mushroom soup, Todd. Whatever your name is, John, rock and roll. What kind of name is that, man? Tagar? Wait a minute, what's Todd's nickname?
Gitad.
Gitad, shit, I fucked it up. So stupid, Adam. What are you doing?
Embarrass yourself for a text.
Yeah, let's go out for a taco. I'll come to your neck of the woods.
Awesome.
And we'll do it in Honduras.
Okay.
You guys are
all invited. The next
I'll
trip.
Buy, you fly. I'm on fire today. Todd can stay in and tell me he needs some more band practice. The rest of you guys are good.
Yeah.
The album, by the way, Let the Bad Times Roll, another great album from The Offspring. And it's available wherever you listen to music. And shoot them a tweet and Instagram. At Offspring as well, and Vinny Tortorich, and you can go to AdamCarolla.com for all the live shows. I'm coming all over the country to see you. And until next time, this is Adam for Dexter and Vinny and Gina and Vault saying mahalo. I don't want to be perceived as hetero.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Catch Gina Grad on the Easy Listening Podcast, Paul Bryan on the Film Vault, and the rest of us on the Water Cooler. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and get tickets to see the Ace Man. He's going to be everywhere, man. And you can get those tickets, man, at AdamCarolla.com, man.
Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is Geico.com today. That's Geico.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit Spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.